Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Let's Talk Tottenham, the Friday lunch hour, joined by Harry Scarfe. How are you doing, Harry? Thanks so much for coming on.
I'm great, thank you. It's great to be here.
Absolutely pleasure having you on. Been on a few times already, and Eugene is in the chat already. How are you doing, Eugene? Please hit the like, please hit the subscribe and the notification bell. Share the video as well. Harry's got his own channel, Scarfe Spurs Talk. You can find that link for that in the description, but it'll let you know at the end what you can expect on the channel. Only one real place to start, Harry, and it's not Tottenham. It's the Lionesses into the World Cup final for the first time in their history after two consecutive times, I believe, of semi-final heartache. We know how that feels. Absolutely yeah. Superb achievement against Spain, who it's not going to be easy, but if you're in a final, you're there to win it. And these ladies have shown in the Euros and in that semi-final when it would have been very easy after Sam Kerr scored that wonderful goal to almost capitulate and sit back. No, not a bit of it. We'll just go and get two more goals instead. Absolutely superb.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. I love the resilience, everything about the side, but especially the resilience that they've shown. They've faced so many challenges so far in the World Cup, different oppositions, whether that's tactically a certain side will be aggressive, whether that's going behind Zariga Wiedemann and her side. They've always found a way to overcome that challenge. Obviously, we all know what happened last year, the Euros, the inspirational moment for football in general, but also women's football. And now this year as well, getting to the final, overcoming so many challenges. It's just, there's been times where they haven't been great, but they've still got the job done. And that's what the very best teams do. So honestly, they're amazing. And whatever happens Sunday, we'll be proud of them. And they've inspired a lot of people. So honestly, nothing bad to say whatsoever. They've done an incredible job. And we'll all be behind them Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. Wayne Bonham in the chat. I'm good, Wayne. How are you doing? Thanks so much for watching and the comment. Always in the Spurs chats, Wayne Bonner. Serena Wiegmann, there's talk about her future. The FA have said, no, it's not going anywhere. But, I mean, at some point, I would expect her, being that she's the only lady now or only coach to have managed two teams into the World Cup final, maybe she'll try her hand at a club football. And I wouldn't be surprised, and I wouldn't be anywhere shocked if she managed a Premier League team and got results there as well. Maybe there might be an issue with international football. You're used to only seeing players every few months, whereas club football is every day. I don't think Alex Ferguson would have fared as well as an international manager for that reason. But Serena Wiegmann, winning mentality, instills that into her players. She could easily do it in the Premier League, I think, if she decided she wanted to go down that route.
Absolutely, yeah. Completely agree with you, Chris. Wherever that's been, there's talks that she could be the next in line for Gareth Southgate for the England men's job. And she just deserves that. She's done it. Yeah. She's done it last year, the Euros, done it this year again. Excellent manager. And what she's done with this England side is fantastic. She's come up with a winning formula. She knows she can adapt to things. And we see the very best managers in football. We've had two at Tottenham most recently, Mourinho and Conte, who don't have a plan B and they can't adjust. She comes up with these hundreds and thousands of plans how to adapt. We've seen that, the amount of obstacles they've had to overcome and override, so far in the World Cup. It's been loads, but every single one they've managed to overcome and win the game. So it's fantastic. She definitely will succeed at a Premier League club. She'll succeed as England men's boss. She deserves that. I can't see where people come from when they say that she doesn't deserve that. She'll fail. I just don't know where people get that from. Her career speaks for herself. And honestly, we're so lucky to have her as the England Lionesses coach at the moment. But she eventually wants to move on. She's not someone that tends to stick around for the length that the likes of Ferguson and Wenger did back in the day. So she will probably move on at some point, but she definitely want to win the World Cup first.
Yeah, absolutely. Wayne Bonner, it's going to be a cracking final Sunday. England have their hands full of Spain. For me, have played the best football in the tournament. But like Harry said, we've just found a way to get things over the line. And Ian in the chat, how you doing, Ian? But yeah, I'd love to see her in the Premier League at some point or taking over from Gareth Southgate. It's the next evolution of the women's game. The women's game has gone leaps and bounds. The Euros then took it to another level. If we can win the World Cup, I mean, even if we don't win the World Cup, the fact that we're in a final can take it to even greater levels. You've seen, I think 80,000 was one of the Women's Super League attendances, which
incredible.
is on par, better than most of the men's football as well. And people saying she doesn't deserve a chance as England manager. She's won a damn sight lot more than the other people who have had their go at that. I'll give her a go. But yeah, I'd love to see that. Whether it will happen, it's all up to, you know, she's earned the right to be able to pick and choose what she wants to do. Stay on, go somewhere else. And let's just hope they can win, because it would be absolutely fantastic. A World Cup final. We've waited, I don't know, almost 60 years now. Almost 60 years for.
It'd be amazing. Yeah.
I've never seen a World Cup final with England in it, ever.
There you go.
Despite the look of my withered age. right, okay. Let's move on from one team with winning mentality to another team that don't seem to have one. We've lost our captain. Who is replacing him for you? Richarlison was tasked with that against Brentford. It's a new system. New, 2 days before the first game, we lose our main striker, who is the pivotal person in our team. Richarlison got given that responsibility. We're linked with Gift Auburn. I'm sure we'll be linked with someone else. We've been linked with Lukaku. For you, how do you go about replacing Harry? Obviously, you can't replace Harry Kane, but how do you go about filling that void that he's left and trying to get results and trying to get the goals that he got last?
Yeah, definitely. That's the all-important question. And Postecoglou is the one I feel sorry for this, you know, because he says that they plan for it. But you don't play someone all through pre-season as your captain. Then you've got to pick a new captain, which we saw because of the delay we had. Surely couldn't have been planned. And, you know, Richarlison chucked in there when he hardly played, not that much at all in pre-season. He was in what I call the B team, the second team.
Yeah.
Obviously, in an ideal world, we go out and sign a top replacement, whether that's Ivan Toney, Mitrovic, I don't know, pay the money. That'd be ideal. I can't see us signing anybody, because I can see Levy turn around and going, look, I spent nearly 60 million on a striker that you've got on your bench. I brought you in to trust the youth. In the likes of Dane Scarlett and Troy Parrott. Son can play there, play as a false nine. That's what you turn around and say. But for Harry Kane's sake, obviously I can completely understand that he's left. I think he's been personally let down for a long while. And I think his decision was made before Postecoglou came in, the likes of Maddison came in. But we've actually got now an attacking system where he'll get loads more goals. I mean, he scored plenty of goals in a defensive system. Can you imagine how many he scores with the likes of Maddison as well coming in? We finally got a creative midfielder in Maddison. He will score as many goals probably as Haaland. And that is saying something. I think, you know, 30 league goals last season, he would have scored loads. But at the same time, you can understand what he's done. We've been linked to Gift Auburn. I'm not going to lie. I haven't watched him. What I've seen looks good. The price tag isn't too bad. But obviously, you've got the more profile players in the likes of Toney, Mitrovic. But they're going to demand a lot. They know we've got pretty much 100 million sitting there ready to spend. You know, they're not going to let them go for 20 million. Fulham will probably hold out for a good 40, 50 million in Mitrovic, and probably a like with Ivan Toney as well. We see we're linked to the likes of Balogun as well. That it's going to be the exactly same situation. Can Richarlison do it? That's a big question. Well, in the system, he's going to be provided with lots of chances. So only time will tell. But I think we score goals, you know, regardless if we get a strike or not, just purely on the fact that we brought Maddison in and we've seen some of his creativity. Anyone can get on the end of his crosses and have a good chance of scoring. The way we play with high fullbacks as well, whether it's Adoki, whether it's Porro or Emerson down the right, and inverted wingers, if you like, you know, wingers in Son, Kulusevski, got Solomon Perisic on the bench. So I do think we score goals. Obviously, ideally, you want to replace them, but I can't see it happening. There's certainly not one lined up because it would have been announced by now.
Yeah, I think the goals will be more spread out. So 30 goals will be scored again, but just not by one person, I think. And with Ivan Toney, I think we'll get him in January, possibly for cup fights, maybe not because of his ban that he's still got. I think it's like mid-end January his ban ends, I think.
Mitrovic, and he hasn't got long on his contract, so it won't be a lot.
Yeah, I mean, he'd be a good replacement. Obviously, if he starts betting again and gets banned again, then that's really poor from him and probably for us. But I agree with Wayne. Wayne's put a comment in. Stick with Richarlison. Needs to build his confidence and develop an understanding with Maddison as well as the team adapting to a new style. I think Richarlison is one goal away from a big, big confidence boost. You saw him in pre-season. I can't remember who was it against when he scored the hat-trick. The third goal, drawing the keeper out, dinking it over him as soon as he'd gone to ground. Confident striker doesn't do that. Confident striker tries to blast that or just make sure.
Yeah.
So I think he's And we saw elements of when Maddison got the ball, he was on his bike already. Very similar to how Son was when Kane got the ball and turned around. He was already on his bike. So, and in terms of Kane playing in pre-season, I can only assume that's because we were trying to make money there in Singapore. And no one's going to come and watch Spurs if Harry Kane's on your book and he's not playing. So I can only assume that's why.
That's not the only reason.
And Son, Ian says, sorry, Son, inside, Porro, right, Solomon's left. System needs pace up front. And, yeah, Maddison is huge. It's just a bit of a shame we got him about 5 years too late. Absolutely fantastic. And this guy is our key as well, Bissouma, man of the match against Brentford. We're seeing the Bissouma that we saw at Brighton when he marked Kane out of the game when we lost 1-0. The Bissouma that got two... A player of the years for Brighton. He's allowed to play, which Conte is a world-class manager. You don't get his CV without being a good manager, but he stifled him, I think, and a lot of our other players as well. And Bissouma could be, I almost said a signing of the summer there. He isn't a signing, but it's almost like a new signing.
Feels like it. Come to
Maddison in a second, but yeah, Bissouma. Unbelievable. Could be our new Dembele. I'm not saying he's as good as Dembele before people jump down my throat, but hold the ball. He can do everything in midfield really well. And if we can get the Bissouma that we saw at Brighton, we've got a player.
Absolutely. We will definitely have a player. And we're seeing it. The Bissouma we saw against Brentford is the player that we signed for an absolute bargain. And I still think that it feels like a new signing. I'm glad you brought that up. And you've got all this ridiculous money being spent on Mount, on Haver, and we signed Bissouma for pretty much half the price. Yeah. It could really, really work out this year. Obviously, yes, I think he was stifled under Conte, suffered from injury problems. System just didn't suit him, let's face it. It wasn't the right manager for him. Right now, he's got the freedom of the park. He's got one of the best, for me, creative players you can get right now in James Maddison. When Bentancur comes back as well, think of those three in midfield. Forget defensively for a minute, you know. And we're worried about not scoring goals without Kane. I mean, there's creativity right there for you. We've gone from Højbjerg and Skip to Maddison, Bissouma, and Bentancur, and he's back. For me, that just says everything about Ange Postecoglou and the complete contrast and style change. He can be a special player. He keeps the ball really well. We saw his confidence against Brentford. That's one thing we didn't see last season. I thought last season he was a man who couldn't wait to get rid of the ball. He wouldn't keep the ball for too long, was afraid pretty much to take on a player. He showed that. Sometimes he spent too long on the ball. But I don't mind that because the confidence is there. He's willing to take on players. And I think that one thing we will see as games go on is him starting taking shots from outside the box. Because if this is still the Bissouma we've got from Brighton, he does have a shot on him. And he will score a goal. We saw Emerson do it against Brentford. Wouldn't surprise me if Bissouma done similar in the coming games and months. It feels like a new sign-in. Top player. And I still think it can be an absolute bargain, but he's got the right manager in the right system, so I can't wait to see him.
Yeah, absolutely. And just on what we were talking about earlier, I definitely play Porro Solomon in place of Kulu, says Wayne. We'll come on to Kulu a bit later on, but from one almost new signing to a new signing, James Maddison, unbelievable. What I loved, especially not just how he plays football and what he does and his passing range. It was after the game on Match of the Day where Jonathan Pearce said to him, "You've got number 10, big, big number." And he joked saying, "It's not that big, it's only on a shirt." It's got that jokiness around him, but it's what he said next.
Yeah.
I want that responsibility. People say he's not a leader because he got relegated, but you know, people don't say that about Rio Ferdinand, who got relegated with West Ham. They say he's a leader. James Maddison is a leader. He wants that responsibility. You saw him against Brentford, always wanting the ball wherever he was.
Yeah,
we've seen a lot of players in recent years, certainly under Conte and Mourinho, in that midfield area and up front and other areas, kind of hiding. I don't want the ball. I don't want a mistake. I'll get in trouble. James Maddison, not a bit of that. Give me the ball at all times. And his passing range and creativity speaks for itself. And yeah, it's like you said earlier, it's just a shame that Kane isn't there to play with him because he could have beaten Shearer's record this season. But James Maddison is going to be our key. Hopefully his injury problems that he had at Leicester, that's one of the reasons they went down as well. He was injured for quite a chunk of the season, but he still managed double figures in assists, I think, which is crazy. But yeah, how good could he be in this Spurs team?
magical. I honestly think that we've seen it in pre-season. We saw it against Brentford. His delivery, his confidence, his ability speaks for himself. Yeah, I still have Leicester fans who come to me, or other fans. James Madison's actually not that good. Well, if you look at James Madison last season, he still got into double figures, like you said, in both goals, assists, goal contributions, you name it. Everything positive that Leicester had last season. If he was injury-free, he pretty much carried Leicester. He was the only reason they didn't finish rock bottom in the end. He's a magical player. I'm going to put it out here. I think he's a signing of the summer. I don't think Kane's a buy-in. I don't think anyone gets close, because Kane's obviously a big profile player, but in terms of what he offers to Bayern, for me, compared to what Madison now offers to Tottenham with creativity, completely transforms the midfield. I don't think anyone gets close. I know I'd much rather have Madison over Mount, over Havertz, even over Casado, to be honest with you. You can't kind of compare them to a slightly different position. But when you see us getting Madison for 40 million, and this is where I will give credit to where credit is due to Levy and the board. Yes, we may have not signed him if we stayed up, but we've got him for 40 million. We've saved money, and for me, ultimately got the better player. He can be absolutely magical. I'm so sad I can't see the partnership of Kane and Madison. We just need someone on the end of those beautiful Madison crosses, free kicks, set pieces. Honestly, he can do a lot. The confidence. So him and Bissouma, and like I said, when Bentancur comes back, obviously we're taking time, probably going into the new year, the time Bentancur's what I would say match fit and are really ready to go in Ange Postecoglou's high-intensity system, if you like. But those three midfield, they're all fearless. They've got so much ability and they rip teams apart. I don't think there is a better midfield. So probably, you know, the last couple of years, we've gone from the best front three in Kulusevski, Son and Kane, for me, to potential the best midfield in Bissouma, Madison and Bentancur. So it's a lot to look forward to, aside from Harry Kane. But honestly, he's a magical player. Always liked him at Leicester. I'm so, so happy about the signing.
Yeah, me too. And yeah, we're going to have to rely on, unfortunately, Gareth Southgate to see Kane get on the end of his crosses. Wayne Bonner, I find myself eating my words with Madison. Had my doubts when he signed him, but he's done nothing but impress me. When this team clicks, he'll be even better. I think he's like Eriksen. When the team clicks, it's because Madison is clicking. I think when Eriksen played well, we played well. When Eriksen got marked out of the game, we really struggled. James Madison, I don't know who comes in if he gets injured. Alfie Devine, maybe, just following him around like a bad smell in training, just trying to soak in as much knowledge and know-how as possible.
That's the worry, injury.
Whether Bissouma can step up and be that creative player, but then you obviously miss deeper what Bissouma can do. Skip, yeah. Maybe. I'm not sure. I'm not still not really sure what kind of midfielder Skip is, you know, whether he's a Højbjerg type, whether he's a Dele Alli, a Frank Lampard type, box to box, whether he's a creator. Where do you see Harry Skip? I don't see. it's not jumping out at me what kind of midfielder he is.
Listen, I love Skip, but he doesn't appear to me as someone who has that, I don't know, a necessarily natural ability. Let's use James Madison, for example. He blows you away. His ability, where he stands out from the rest, is his set pieces, his confidence to take on players. There isn't many players like that. You know, not many players get close to him, but we're a Skip. He keeps the ball well, passes side to side. If you want someone to maybe see out the game, keep the ball, but he's not your creative midfielder. I don't think he has that almost like nasty side, defensive side that Højbjerg has, you know, in terms of take one for the team, get the yellow card. I don't think Skip quite has that in him. But maybe you want to see out a game, keep the ball, Skip comes on. I don't personally, lots of people jump on this, but I don't personally think he suits the system. But it is early days. I saw against Brentford. He just almost, for me, looked like the odd one out, not quite sure what to do and just kept the ball. Because it keeps everyone happy, not doing anything wrong. He was the only one who wasn't willing to take a risk. Got Bissouma and Madison, who wanted to take on the whole Brentford team, but Skip was happy to keep the ball and knock it about. So only time will tell. I mean, he's got to decide. He's not getting any younger. He needs to decide what he wants to do, whether he sees his future at Tottenham or not. But we've got a lot of midfielders. If Højbjerg doesn't go, then Skip may be looking, I don't know, January, etc., to move elsewhere, because he wants to be somewhere he can get first-team football. He probably can with Tottenham over time. He's been hailed by top managers such as Mourinho, such as Conte. But he needs to adapt to this new system. Otherwise, same with Højbjerg, you know, if they can't adapt, then they're going to have to go. Because neither of them are used to the system. So Skip will need time, but he doesn't stand out to me as that special player.
Yeah, I think he's quite an intelligent player, so I think he could probably adapt to different systems. But yeah, I like Skip. But yeah, Ian says, it's not unreasonable to give the team until Christmas to click. Cup win surely is within the team's capability. No Europe. If we're in with a cup run, there's no excuse to not play.
This is our best chance.
Yeah, it's Saturday to Saturday. It's not Saturday to Wednesday to Wednesday to Saturday. There's no excuse to play in top team if we're in a cup run. And Wayne Bonner says, Skip to me. He seems like a midfielder who'll knuckle down and do the job he's given. He's a good player, but he's not fully developed yet. I'd choose Saar every time. I mean, Saar looks a player. I have to admit that he's not getting in ahead of Bissouma and Maddison at the moment. But, you know, long season. He's very good. Yeah, and one player that's been mentioned, we'll come back to him. I said we'll come back to him. Kulu. When we first signed him, that first 6 months, blew everyone away, was part of the best front three probably in Europe.
Yeah, definitely.
Last season started off on fire. I don't think the system suited him last year either. What I really don't understand is under Conte, we were free-flowing and attacking and scoring goals. And then under Conte the next season, we were completely stifled. And I mean, I understand that, you know, the defence isn't that great, so we're conceding goals, so you've got to shore that up. But we got 27 points out of 33 in the last 11 games with that same defence, and that's, yeah.
It's incredible.
Like I said to you off air, you're more likely to win if you go and attack teams. And that's what it looks like. We're gonna have a couple of stinkers and a couple of, Man City will be looking at filling their boots. But yeah, Kulu has gone off the boil. The same people who were sort of like raving about him in the first 6 months are now saying he's rubbish. He's only 23. Every player has a bad spell. Harry Kane had a bad spell. Obviously, it only lasted a month because it was in August. And the season he was linked with Man City, that's the summer before, he had a bit of a bad spell up until October. Yeah. But yeah, I don't have any fears about Kulusevski. And the fact that we've got Solomon there, the fact that we've got other players there, you need that competition to kind of get people to buck their ideas up. What do you think's gone wrong for him? And how long do you think Kulu will How long do you think Ange will put up with Kulu's subpar performances before he changes it up? And the same with Son as well. I know he's captain. How long do you think Ange will put up with it before, okay, we've got to make some changes here and you've got to like fight for your place again?
I think he'll be thinking about it this weekend because Ange is a manager who demands a lot. You know, he doesn't necessarily put the pressures on the team, but he puts, as a team as a whole, including himself, there's a high pressure there. He wants to succeed. I don't think he's someone who's going to give you 15 games if you don't perform, he's still in the team. But to be fair, although Conte and Mourinho, you know, we all know what they're like. They were stubborn to change something. And then when they changed something, they changed it too much. So there is that kind of side to it. Kulusevski, my theory is that players have kind of figured him out. Because when he came to the Premier League, what we saw, cuts inside, he can curl it, has an excellent shot on him from distance, excellent cross on him. Because if I'm a defender, which if I play football would be my natural position, or in your head, you just stop Kulusevski from cutting in because he doesn't have anywhere else to go. He's almost like, you know, just has that one trick and he doesn't know where else to go. It'd be backwards, he'd pass to someone else or lose the ball. So if he can find something different about him, whether he's shifting the ball, he can work with his other foot, he can cut in on the other side. But at the same time, look at Gareth Bale. He only had one foot, but he was too good. Nobody could stop him. So I wouldn't say I fear with Kulusevski, but he can't keep doing what he's doing because it's not Kulusevski's fault necessarily, but he isn't the quickest player in the world. So all you do is you hold Kulusevski up, you stop him from cutting inside. There's not that much he can do. So it's strange because if you think about it, the Conte system should have really suited him. On the break, quick, you're away. You know, it should suit him. But it did start with, but not, second part of the season, if you like. It did on the run in and getting top four, but not in that pretty much whole season where we had Conte, which is very strange. Again, could be teams figuring us out. Because if you think of someone like Conte, you know, if you figure the way he plays out, you pretty much know how to beat him because he's not going to change. He's not going to change his way to try and beat you. That's what I like with Ange Postecoglou. I think he'll tweak things to win. And to look at Man United and go, hang on, they're really good with a long ball over the top. As long as we have Van de Ven deeper, who's very quick, we will be okay. So little things like that. But no, I do not fear with Kulusevski. He's young. We got him from absolute bargain. He's still a young talent. He just needs to find something different to beat his man. But, you know, he's on a wage for a reason. He has a contract for a reason. So I have full faith in him. So I think fans have been quite dismissive of some players, whether it's Richarlison, Vicario, Kulusevski, Son, one game. Every player starts to play from pre-season. If you watch all the Premier League games, you get to 70, 75 minutes. Obviously, with it's more than that because of the new regulations with added time. Fitness starts to kick in. Lots of substitutions are made. So I think fans think it's just a Spurs problem or just our players' problem. What I will remind them is that Kane never used to perform in August. Got to be patient. Vicario's new, Van de Ven's new. You've got to be patient with all these players, whether they've been here a long time or not. It takes time to settle in. Like Bissouma, last season, it could have been he's settling in the season. You know, with Brighton, it took him a whole season to settle in, to fit the system, to understand the culture, the system, the club. So fans, my message to fans is not to be so dismissive. Because these players are professional footballers for a reason. They have a contract, they have a wage. Kulusevski, though, I do not worry. I think he still can be a top.
No. Yeah, Death Farts Glow. What a fantastic name. Just in the door. How's all in the house? I'm good. Hope you're doing good as well. Ian, Decky, too one-dimensional. His lack of pace bothers me. Death Fart. I'll just call him Death Fart from now on. Kulu's son don't fit the system. Not one of them can take a wing back on, get round the outside of them and cross the ball. I still think son's got his pace. And with Maddison there, he'll do what Ericsson did and give it to him quickly. So he is one-on-one. And he goes on to say, Porro, who I do like Porro going forward, he cannot be a right back. He cannot defend. And Solomon,
not in this system.
Perfect for the wing system, as both can take a man on round the back, the outside, and get round the back of the defence. And in terms of the midfield, Wayne says, and we still have Bentancur to come back. Him, Bissouma, Maddison, natural midfield three, in my opinion. Play Kulu centrally. That's
Chris, I have a question for you, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
How many goals do you think Son scores this season? Because it's an interesting one, because obviously he struggled last season.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if Maddison can do what Ericsson did and give it to him quickly, because Ericsson gave the ball to him quickly, he was instantly one-on-one facing him, and then he skinned him. And then there was so much space there. That's why Ali scored so many goals and everything like that. Whereas last season, it was very much Kane comes deep, Son runs forward in between two defenders. I think the players, once they get used to it, maybe in a month or so, I like this attacking play. And they're more likely to take risks. So 15, 20 in all competitions, maybe. Maybe 20 has been a bit ambitious. But what do you think?
I think he's going to get 12 Premier League goals. I think obviously he isn't getting any younger. I don't think the system suited in last season. We had the injury as well. So I think he scores goals. But I'm not worried about goals because Kulusevski, Maddison will chip in, the fullbacks will chip in, Pentagon, his back will chip in. And we've already seen from pre-season in our game against Brentford that goals isn't the problem. It's the other end leaking goals that will be the problem. The way we're playing
about that, don't you worry?
Exactly. So we've got to be careful about leaking goals. No, Son scores goals. Richarlison scores goals. Kulusevski scores goals. It's just how many.
Yeah, I mean, Wayne Bonner says, has he fully recovered from his surgery? We'll never know. I think there was talk that he was injured last season and was still playing.
I don't get that. He should have been given time off. You had Dan Juma sitting on the bench. That's what I don't get.
I don't even know why we got him in there for only 6 months just to stop Everton getting him, and he's there anyway.
He's gone back, yeah.
Point is, Solomon, Porro, much better for Ange's system. Son and Kulu's style doesn't fit it. And if Ange is going to use Son and Kulu, we have to find another way because we're going to lose or draw games if we play them both. Be interesting. Obviously, Son is now captain because it looks like Loris is heading off or he's been linked with Lazio. Ndombele is surplus to requirements. Nobody wants someone with that bad an attitude. Do these guys leave this transfer window or are they still there in your opinion? And obviously Loris is linked with Lazio, so that would be the obvious choice. But where does Ndombele go? he's a terrific player if he wants to be. We've seen some of his skills and his attributes, but if you don't have the attitude, you're not going to do anything in football. So where do these guys end up? Is it this January? Is it this transfer window, or are they still at Spurs, in your opinion?
Is this a great question? I feel like we're nearly FC. We need to get players out the door and it breaks down. Listen, a rebuild involves getting players out the door. And I think one of the reasons the club cashed in for Kane, which I think is wrong, by the way, but whatever you think of it, I think it's because their failure to get players out the door. They've looked at it and gone, oh, we've actually spent quite a bit, but we failed to get players out the door. We failed with this rebuild. We failed Ange. Oh, Kane's going to go. I don't like how much we spent. We spent more than we've got back. So I think it's just because they're failure. That's a sad thing. We need to get players out the door, absolutely. For me, this window, I still think 5, 6, maybe 7 players need to go out the door. 2 of them in the Ndombele and Lloris.
Who are the other 4 or 5?
Oh, great questions.
You said the number. You made a odd move back there, I'm afraid.
Sessegnon, I think when you've helped him with his recovery, I think it's time to go. Reguilon, for me, doesn't suit the system, has to go. Spence, whether it's a low to buy, permanent buy, we've just got 2 options in that position. I just can't see him fitting in.
Spence is another one who allegedly has got a real attitude problem as well.
That is a slight worry.
You want him out the door, which again, why the hell are we buying him?
Don't know. And obviously you've got Lloris and Ndombele. I personally like Højbjerg, but the mountain midfielders we've got doesn't suit the system. If you put it this way, get 40 million for Højbjerg, then you cash in on him. You just do. So they're the players who probably would for me go out the door, but. Look at the amount, look at the quantity we have, defenders, but especially fullbacks. We just don't have the quality. Oh, and players I forgot to mention Tanganga and Dyer as well. So there's loads of players that I'll be looking to get out the door because we've got 39 players. For me, I'll be looking to get that down to 30. Yeah. 39.
What do you make of Dyer? Because he's very much like Marmite. Either he's the worst player and should never be a footballer in the first place to some fans, and others saying, I don't mind him. I quite like Dyer as a person. As a footballer, though, for Tottenham and what we want to achieve, unfortunately, as a defender, he's just not good enough. But as a person, I don't mind him at all. What do you think of Dyer?
Yeah, listen, I'm going to call out some fans here because some of the hate, I've seen things recent days, a hashtag against Dyer, even as stupid as a protest against Dyer. What I will say is Eric Dyer is a professional footballer for a reason. He was liked by top managers like Mourinho and Conte. If someone, you know, who hasn't made it as a professional footballer and sits on Twitter all day wants to judge Mourinho and Conte, who are serial winners and proven managers, and judge Eric Dyer, who's a millionaire, he's a footballer, he's on a contract for a reason, he's in the England team, he's in the Tottenham team. Then fair play, you know, someone on minimum wage wants to question him, go for it. But Dyer's a professional footballer for a reason. Some of the hate he's got is just wrong, but he doesn't have the ability. Let's say he's a centre back. He doesn't have the ability of Van Dijk, Romero, even Van de Ven, or any other top centre back. But he has the right attitude. He always is willing to improve, and he's not the human being that deserves the criticism from the fans. I hold my hands up. Ndombele, Spence, with their attitude issues, I get it because they're not showing, you know, the love for the badge, and their attitude is wrong. But for someone in Dyer who isn't fantastic, bless him, but always wants to improve, has the right attitude, the commitment. That's why Mourinho and Conte liked him. He gave 110%. I would still be thinking about keeping it in and around the squad because he apparently helps people settle in. He's a good squad player. He's positive energy from everything I hear and see. It's just some of the criticism from people who aren't footballers and haven't made it. It is just odd, put it that way.
I've got no problem with him staying there if he's like 4th or 5th pick for the defence. If he's first or second, I think we've got problems because certainly from speaking to Ian, who lives in Scotland, followed Celtic a lot and Ange's system, it requires pace at the back. Ian will let me know if that's incorrect.
We have that now.
Eric Dyer does not have pace at all. It's when he had his operation under Poch, appendicitis, I think it was. He had his appendix removed. He's never really been the same there since. But I agree. His attitude, got nothing against his attitude and his wanting to stay at Spurs. You always say you want players who want to play for the badge. He does, but yeah, he's just, unfortunately, if we want to achieve things, he's just not good enough to be a starter, in my opinion, anyway. No, then we come on to a defender who is Romero's situation. The talk that I've seen is that the concussion protocol, he won't be playing against Man United because he's got to have 6 days recovery. I think it was, we played Sunday, this is Saturday. What I loved about Postecoglou is not that Romero had to come off, but the fact that he wanted to stay on and Postecoglou's get off the pitch now. And under Mourinho and Conte, it was almost looked like to me, the players were scared of them, of making a mistake, and there'd be huge repercussions. Whereas Postecoglou looks to me a nice guy, gets on with the players. Do not cross me, though.
Yeah, and don't mess with me. Don't play with me.
And as soon as he said, get off the pitch, Romero, okay, I'll come off the pitch. And that respect there, that authority there, fantastic. Unfortunately, it was unfortunate for him to come off. But then Sanchez came on, and against Barcelona, he was superb. And he didn't really do anything wrong apart from a few rash challenges against Brentford. But again, with Sanchez, we've seen this before. One good game, three terrible ones. One good game, four terrible ones. So he'd be the obvious one to come in. But do you think Romero will play? And if not, who do you think will come in? And if he doesn't play, how do you think that's going to affect us defensively in this game against United?
Obviously, we want Romero. We've got to think about the player's sake. But for the team's sake, you want Romero in there. I mean, I don't think I have to sit here and explain that when Romero's in the team that we defend better. We've seen that. He's definitely our best defender. At least he's got Van de Ven in now. That's all I would say. So it'd probably be Sanchez that will come in for him. Do I think he will play? No, just because of the way that Ange approached the situation.
Yeah.
On Sunday, you know, you go by my rules. I'm following the rules. You're off. Don't mess with me. So I think he'll stick by that. And fair play to him for that. It's obviously not the news us Spurs fans want to play, but he's thinking about the player. He's following the rules, thinking about the concussion, etc. Because if you look at the way he headed, you know, that goal, that is going to hurt. That is a risk of concussion. Blimey, I didn't realise it first time, but watching it back, the contact in that is something else. And that is, you know, you can completely understand the right decision, if you ask me. Yeah, you can blame him all you like, but again, it's his job. You get people who are judging him. It's not your job to judge. Your job is to support the team, not judge the manager. So I just personally, it baffles me. But yeah, Sanchez comes in. Again, it appears to be another scapegoat. Yes, of course, he has what I call also brain farts, you know, a moment where he loses. That's one way of putting it. Or a way of losing, he's just his concentration, maybe confidence. But again, you hear all the time, he's aware of the hate he gets from the fans. He's just sad. He's a nice guy. You know, you see everything he does. He loves the club. He wants to be here. He wants to help. He wants to improve. It's just the sad treatment he gets. I keep him in and around as a backup. Of course, he's not going to be a regular starter. But you keep him in and around the squad. But I just don't understand. Yeah. Criticism these players get. They're our own players. I get it if we're criticising Arsenal players. But when you're getting personal about our players, I just don't get it.
No, yeah. And a couple of comments. Basuma's only on 50 grand a week, so he'll be asking for a rise next season or will be handing the transfer request. Imagine how good Basuma is and Sanchez, 10 grand more than him. And it's shocking that Bentancur's on 75 grand a week, Ben Davies and Eric Dyer on more wages than him. If you offered me 75 grand a week, you would not have any hands left. Yeah, it's just we can't really understand that kind of money just because it's completely, well, to me anyway, it's completely foreign to me, 75 grand a week or even 50 grand a week.
I can't imagine it.
I mean, it's, yeah, Whiteman and Austin, 7.5 grand a week. I'd take that, I'll tell you that. But yeah, in terms of Romero, it was refreshing to see as well. Like I said earlier, if there's any truth in it, son was playing with an injury last year, shouldn't really have been playing. Romero shouldn't be playing if he's got a concussion. Okay, fine, I'm not playing him. It's refreshing to see that someone who's caring for the players. Obviously, concussion is a lot more in the news and mainstream than an injury, maybe. But one player who did get a lot of hate, still gets a little bit of it, but it's turning that round. Delighted for him. Emerson, a fantastic goal. Like you said with Dyer, the attitude. He spent all this money to try and get better. He never complains. Completely the correct attitude. And compared to what we're hearing from Spence and Ndombele, complete polar opposite on that one. Maybe have found the system for him with the inverted fullback. He got skinned a couple of times by Rico Henry. I assume with Ange's system, because it's far more focused on attacking, there's not the focus on Kulu and Son getting back to help, although Son did give away the penalty coming back and help. But yeah, I really like Emerson. Nothing wrong with his attitude. His crossing needs to be better. Again, you know, fight Alfie Devine for rights to hang around with James Maddison there. He can teach you how to cross. And the shot, the confidence to have that shot for someone who's not really known as a goal scorer. I think it was Leeds last year where he went through on goal and put it away like Harry Kane. No lacking of confidence. Absolutely delighted for him. But he's the only real fullback I think we've got on that side. And on the left side, we've got Udogie. You mentioned a few players going. I worry about the cover for fullback, because Porro isn't a fullback. He can't defend. Reguilón, about the same. Perisic can, but he's far better going forward. Sessegnon's always injured. Jed Spence has an attitude problem. So I don't really know what we do. Ben Davies is there as a left back as well, but
got so many in that position.
But Emerson, absolutely fantastic. And what do you think of the fullback situation? Are we light there on not personnel, but players who can actually play there? Porro cannot play there.
Well, yeah, exactly. Just start with Emerson. I'm absolutely delighted for him. Like you said, Chris, his attitude is spot on. We're talking about a guy who spent close to $1 million during lockdown in improving his own defending. He's aware of that he wasn't a fan's favourite. He wanted to improve. He wanted to keep going. He's always showed that attitude. Yeah, you know, and against Brentford, the only one to have the confidence to take the shot on. So that says something. And he scored. So no, I'm delighted for him, because lots of fans doubted him, including myself. And but even the extreme in that, some people hated him, some people booed him. And now he's what I would say pretty much one of the fans' favourites, which is great to see for him personally. So I'm delighted with that. With our full-back situation, we've got the quantity, just not the quality. We've got far too many what I call left-back and left-wing backs. Let's just think at the moment, people who can play in that left-back position, whether they're a natural person, you know, for that position or not, they can still play there. You've got Perisic, you've got Udogie, you've got Reguilón, you've got Sessegnon, you've got Davis. That's five. I don't know any other team that has five options. It's great. It's not great for the wage. It's not great to get out the door. It's not great to bring people in when you've got, like, let's say Ange Postecoglou turns around to Daniel Levy and goes, I want a new top-quality left-back. He'd go, you've got five. So, you know, unless we move players on, you can't bring any kind of player in any position like that for me, Sessegnon, you get him through the recovery, you bring him out, because he's just his injury problems. I just don't think he personally makes it. Perisic, you can move to left wing. That's that position gone. You still got Davis, Udogie and Reguilón. Reguilón doesn't really suit the system. At least one or two out of those, probably let's say one out of those three, they have to go. Or two out of the five, let's say, they have to go. You don't want to be going into the season with what you've got, five on the left and three on the right. It's great to have the options, but we haven't got the quality. You have to keep leaving players out. Then they get upset. Then you stories break into the team, unsettles the team. It's just like a chain. So combined in both fullback positions, I would say we need to get rid of three or four personally. But we're just not doing that. And sadly, you know, people say that, you know, that what's the point in ripping up contracts? But sometimes you have to show a bit of ambition. Act like a big club. If players aren't moving on, refusing to go, can't sell them, you rip up their contract. Because they're taking up the space. At the end of the day, they have to go. If Ndombele has an attitude issue, obviously the club will lose a lot of money on it. There is contract about that will show him. You're at our club. We pay you, and you're showing the wrong attitude. Gone. But with Ndombele, the amount of money that we're set to lose on him is dreadful. That's probably one of the worst things Daniel Levy's done. Can you imagine? There's a businessman. He's making a huge loss. He's not going to like that, is he? It's not something he's going to be mentioned in his Cambridge interview anytime soon. But with our fullback situation, we should get players out the door.
Yeah, God knows who scouted Ndombele. It wasn't very good scouting. I think we kind of bought him because a lot of Europe's top teams were after him, and we bought him to stop them getting him. But yeah,
Levy will deny it, but he thought he was the Eriksen replacement. Then he tried with Lo Celso, but also, well, so far failed. I like what we've seen. He's taken a lot longer than he would have hoped. Ndombele has the ability. It's his attitude. It's such a shame because he has the ability. You talk about top players in this league and similar to his position in De Bruyne and Fernandes, even like the likes of Maddison. I think he's surpassed them with his ability, but I don't get it. He's a millionaire. He's a footballer. You're playing for Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. I just don't get how you don't have the right attitude. And, you know... I don't know if you saw, Chris, but it released today the numbers of the squad. Everyone had a happy face, but Tanguy Ndombele, who looked like he didn't want to be there. He looked like he was in a prison and really, really didn't want to be there. That just says something for me. Ndombele's prime, he's having a great time at Tottenham Hotspur. I just don't get it. Don't get it at all.
No, I agree with you. You know, we make all of this money. Just get out of our club. We don't care anymore. We'll take the hit.
You don't want to be here. Postecoglou, I'm sure, will relate to this. I think you say this. If there's players that don't want to play for me, don't be here. And that looks like Ndombele and Spence. Don't want to be here. Go. You're not welcome here.
Yeah, I agree. Won't happen, though. Levy won't allow that. A couple of comments from Death Arts Glow here. Royal was beat for pace. Surprised Ange didn't switch Udogie to play Royal's position to cope with the pace of the Brentford winger. That was Rico Henry. Maybe Rico Henry is quicker than we anticipated, but...
He's got to be in contention for the England squad, hasn't he? Rico Henry.
Yeah. I mean, what I would say is if you're being beaten a few times there, you've got to make a change, whether that's you as the player saying to Deki, get back. Deki going, okay, he needs help there. Or Ange going, okay, change the system slightly, go help him.
And on the left side, Son tried to get back once. And I mean, whether you think it's a penalty or not, he got there late. So,
And Emerson getting grilled on social media because he got beat so easily for the pace for the second goal. What I'd say about the second goal is the guy who ended up scoring, I know it took a deflection, but he had about 5 yards around him of nowhere near him. I don't know who's marking him there. And then we get on to the man. Sorry. Okay.
No, I'm just saying, completely agree with you. It wasn't just Emerson. Anyone could have closed him down. Just generally poor defending.
Yeah. And come on to Man United now. So he goes on to say, I'm worried for Royal against Rashford as pace and player factor. Need Saar to cover for Emerson while Man United hits on the counter. We need a very tall midfielder with long strides to make up ground when we're being hit by you, Man United, on the counter. As I feel Royal is caught for pace. Otherwise, Rashford will rule that wing. And then goes on to say, wouldn't mind being in prison and you're paying me 200 grand a week. Party time. Anthony Herbert. How are you doing, Anthony? Arsenal fan, but check out his channel as well and him on Twitter. What's your score prediction for this game? We'll come to that at the end. You had a good game against Brentford, but I feel Richarlison was lost in that game. Yeah, he'll come good. Okay, so... Death Bart has already mentioned Rashford. United's danger men. You cannot rule out Fernandes. Give him time. He'll pick passes. Casemiro obviously scored. They play with fullbacks as well. Luke Shaw. I can't remember who's on the right, to be honest.
Wan Bissaka.
Yeah. Yes.
Dallow.
Yeah. And Hoyland, I think that's his name. Whatever his name, if he's fit. But who are United's danger men for you? For me, it would be Rashford and Fernandes. And Defar, I agree with that. They'll be looking at that Brentford game and go, okay, we can beat Royal for pace there. So that, unless Ange or the players fit a system to double up on Rashford down that side, I can see what he says there about Rashford playing a factor. But who are your danger men and how do we stop them?
Very good question. I wish you could sit here and answer that.
How would you stop them, I should say?
Yeah, no, this is a good question. But put it this way, Erik ten Hag's going to be sitting here right now, looking at the Romero situation, looking at some of our defending against the Brentford game and rubbing his hands together. Because United, they've got what their quality is, they've got their attacking players. Whether it's Rashford, Holland, Bruno Fernandes. But what I fear most, Chris, is on the counter-attack is Bruno Fernandes' long balls over the top. He can pick a pass. You look at Rashford's form last season. You look at Emerson defensively. Fernandes, he fancies jump. Casemiro can ping a pass. Casemiro can take a shot. So we have a bit to fear on the counter-attack. And I think if there's a way we can sit up defensively, maybe I'd consider maybe double full-backs, use the wingers as almost like full-backs. whether it's Adoki and Perisic, or you have Porro and Emerson. That's what I would do. I'd put Porro and potentially Perisic either side of Richarlison or Son, whoever you play as a number nine. And midfield, I mean, I'd go with definitely Maddison and Bissouma, but I'd be tempted to put... it's between Højbjerg and Skip. Obviously, you're going to see who's a more defensive option. You're going to have the one of them's going to have to be deeper and watch, because Fernandes will like to pick holes, to pick passes. And Casemiro is there. I think Maddison will struggle. I hate to say it, but I think Maddison will struggle in this game. Yeah, I really do, because I think the way United play with a defensive midfielder and Casemiro, it's going to be an interesting battle. Casemiro v Maddison. They mark Maddison out of the game, then that stops the supply to Richarlison. Then he gets frustrated. We all know what happens when players like Richarlison and Romero get frustrated. So if United have got it in their hands in terms of you mark someone like Maddison out of the game. So how do we stop them? I think we double up on both sides, and then Rashford gets frustrated and Antony gets frustrated on the right and starts doing his tricks and losing the ball. So that'd be interesting.
Could you put Sarr in the middle?
Sarr could potentially... mentioned. Yeah, it's going to be a big task from him. But big games, whether it's AC Milan in Milan, Champions League, or it's, I completely agree with that, or it's the North London Derby, he stepped up. So don't know why we need to worry. So we need at least one defensive midfielder. We need Kulusevski and Son to track back. But I'll be looking to bring Son and Kulusevski off the bench towards the end, bring their firepower, bring their qualities.
So you drop both of those for this game?
I would. Yes, I would right now. Yeah, I think so. And centre back. Also, you've got Sanchez there. We're going to need help defensively. For sure.
Yeah. I mean, there are, just before we get on to Man United, Death Fart says, I feel sorry for Richarlison. Everything had to come through the middle as the channels were completely shut down those wings. Son, Kulu were put to bed by Brentford's wing backs. Anthony says, Casemiro is a danger in that midfield and Rashford. But their new striker got to shine this season with a 70 million price tag. And then we come to another one. Mount and Bruno got completely overrun by a brilliant Wolves side. Wolves side who, maybe not favourites, but heavily favoured to go down and struggle, being that they sacked their manager just before the...
And lost lots of top players.
Yeah, and who failed to capitalise on their chances. Man United made to look very ordinary. Rashford, very, very poor. And, 100% agree with you there. Son, Kulu dropped for Porro, Solomon on the wings. So that comes to the last kind of thing now. I can't give a prediction, score prediction. I'm a coward. It's my show. I can do what I want. If I give a score prediction, that means I have to put a bet on it and I lose money. And then Spurs are winding me up because they won't come true and I lose money as well. But how will the game pan out and the predictions? I think we'll win. I don't think we'll keep a clean sheet. I think it will be quite an entertaining game. I think both teams will look at that thinking both their defences are fairly shaky. And it will be a game of, I think, who shines brighter, Fernandes or Maddison. I think Richarlison will score in that game. I think they'll be working in training over this week. And that's the other good thing about Europe. We've got a full week between games generally to work on things on the training pitch rather than have to worry about tactics for a new game. Anthony says 1-0 to United. Sorry, lads. Get off my channel. Only joking. How do you think the game will pan out? What would be your prediction for it? And Ian can stay on 5-0 Spurs.
Wow. Can you imagine?
I think you're being ridiculously optimistic there. I'd love to see that, Ian, but...
Yeah. I think it's more ridiculous that we concede none than score five, to be honest with you. I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw. I'm going to go with goals from Richarlison and Bruno Fernandes.
Would you take a draw at this moment in time?
I would take a draw because we've got to remember it's a new era, new system, new manager. It's going to take time. And when you're playing top positions with Man United, United set the standard last year, Ten Hag third. And the League Cup surpassed probably his expectations, and we all know how ambitious and bold Ten Hag is. So United set the standard; they know how to play. Postecoglou's second game, first home game of the season, first for him in charge. It's going to take time. So yeah, I'd 100% take the point. I think United will will take the lead through Fernandez around about the half an hour mark. I think it would be a long distance shot. I don't think he'd be closed down on the counter-attack. I think he outside the box, it hit a worldie. Richarlison, I think he scored a headed goal. Delivery from the likes of Perisic on the left, I think. And he scored a headed goal. So again, 1-1, I'll take that.
Excellent. And you said you dropped Son and Kulu. Do you think that will happen? For me, I don't think that happens. I think he gives them this game to see what he does. If they still don't perform, then he'll start thinking about it in the next game, which, I mean, it's Fulham away in the cup, isn't it? I think the next game. So
it is Fulham away in the cup, yeah. But see, you know, I think the priorities of this have got to be defensively, because Ange knows that we're probably going to score goals. So if you say to Kulusevski and Son, you know, you grab them the day before, are you willing to track back? They go no, they reluctantly say yes, then you drop them, because Perisic will know how to defend from his time under Conte, Inter Milan and Tottenham as a left wing back. So he'll be able to do that as a left winger and just kind of cover for Adoki. Because you've got to remember, we've got Emerson who's not the best at defending, and you've got Adoki who's still young and still learning the Premier League. He's only second game in the Premier League. I don't feel that comfortable, because United, this is what United will do. They put their fullbacks high. It probably will be Wan-Bissaka and Shaw, but it could be Dalot and Shaw. And it'll be 2v1. I can see it now. it'll be 2v1 down both sides. And you can't expect Emerson and Adoki, who are neither what I would call the best defenders, to be able to live up to that. So that's why I would go double fullback on the side. I don't think he'll do that. And he's quite a stubborn guy, but he knows what he's doing. So bring it on.
Yeah. I think Man United will be wary of us because of our attacking prowess. So I think a lot of times last season, teams would go, oh, let's go attack them there and get to attack us. Yeah, stop Harry Kane, done. Whereas this season, I think you've got to be a bit careful. If we let Maddison get on the ball, if we let Son, Kulu, Solomon, Perisic, Porro, whoever it is, run and give space to Richarlison, they can score goals. Last comment here at the moment. Son, Kulu, too slow in their thinking and reacting to be wide players, but Porro and Solomon are perfect, being sharp and witty on the wings.
Yeah, I agree.
Being able to take on and beat a man. But that's pretty much the show today. Thank you, everybody, for watching. All your comments as well. Please hit the like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, share the video. If you like a bit of magic, a little side channel of mine, Chris's Magic, on Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. UK time. There's also tutorials there. And, oh, you're obviously here for Spurs. You want some more Spurs content? Harry's got his own channel, Scarfy Spurs Talk. The description is the link is in the description. Put my teeth back in. But Harry will let you know what you can expect on your show.
Yeah. Firstly, Chris, thank you very much for having me on. Obviously, we were arranging the day. I completely forgot the other Friday. So that is completely my fault.
Pleasure having you on, as always.
I do that a lot, but no.
Yeah, in the chat, how you doing, Bobby?
Yeah, and thank you to everyone in the chat as well for tuning in. With my channel, Scotty Spurs, what you can expect at the moment up until the transfer window closes, I do daily Spursy updates with all the kind of Spurs news in and around the club. From a load of different tier one sources. Match previews and match reactions are back, and they're here to stay as well. And I have weekly live shows every Monday, 8 p.m. with special guests. If you like Last Word on Spurs, which I know is very popular with the Spurs community, on the 18th of September, I've got Lee McQueen on, and I've got Crackers on a week or two before that. So that's going to be quite exciting. And obviously we do big videos with players we're linked to, players we've signed, players that go out the door. I've just released the match preview for the Man United game, and the next 72 hours, there'll be a video on Eberechi Eze, because if people don't know, Lise's committed his long-term future 4 years at Palace. So that opens up an opportunity for Eze to potentially leave. And Tottenham could be linked with him if Hojbjerg goes out the door. So that's what you can expect. But massive thank you, Chris, and everyone in the chat. So it's very nice to come on once again.
I know. Pleasure having you on. Welcome, as always, anytime. Anthony Herbert, who will be your star player in the game? I would say Maddison. I think everything will go through him. Who do you think, Harry, quickly?
Yeah, I'd love to say Maddison. I just think Casemiro will mark him out of the game. I just hate to say it. Who'd be my
I think he's still
man?
Wily enough to be able to get himself into the game.
I hope so.
I think James Maddison is. I think he's the kind of player that if he's quiet for 10 minutes, all right, I'll try something else. I'll go over there and hang on that guy who's maybe not as good
as mine. Let's hope so. But Casemiro knows what he's doing. He has bags of experience in trophies in the bag. He's faced some of the best players in the world. He marks Messi. He even marked Messi out of the game. He's done it with Ronaldo. He just has this knack of marking the best players out of the game. He's one of the best, if not the best, DM right now, and has been for a while. Bissouma, I think, will stand out for me. I think United will solely focus on Maddison and will forget with Bissouma. So, yeah, Bissouma, I think, is be a good game for him. So he's going to be my star man. It's a good question.
Yeah. And last one from Anthony Herbert. Chris, do you fancy doing a quiz? No Ben Thatcher question, I promise. I love a quiz. So anytime you want me to do a quiz, just let me know. The Ben Thatcher one, I had to guess a Spurs player with 10 questions.
Okay.
I'm the only one on that show to never been able to guess who it was. No. I couldn't think of Ben Thatcher at all. Very embarrassing. But I've got over it now.
Can I just say to Anthony in the chat, if he drops his Twitter handle, if he has a Twitter or X now, as it's called, I'll drop him a follow. And anyone else who has Twitter, instead of me trying to search for your handle and can't find it.
Yeah, it's not X, it's Twitter. I ain't calling it X. Absolutely.
No, I don't know. No, it's Twitter. Always will be.
Speaking of that, Harry, if you want to follow Harry as well, his Twitter handle is also in the description as well. But yeah, that's pretty much it for today. Thank you to everybody who's watched the show. Thank you to everybody who's commented, liked, subscribed, all of that good stuff. Please keep it coming. It's available for podcasts as well. If you wanted to listen to it and you didn't get to listen to it all, that should be in about half hour or so, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And thanks again to Harry. Pleasure having you on. Always a pleasure having you on. I'm on Harry's show, I think. I assume I am. Harry may have changed his mind. But in a couple of weeks in the international break, I believe.
Is it the 11th of September?
It's something like that. It's the international break.
Yeah, I booked you in. I won't forget, don't worry.
Yeah, excellent. Really looking forward to that. As I am this game, entertainment, attacking football. We will score goals. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, whether that's the case in about 8 hours. We shall see. But yeah, please hit like, subscribe, notification bell on all three of those channels. Let's Talk Tottenham, Chris's Magic, Scarfy Spurs Talk. And come on, you Spurs.
Come, you Spurs.
Thanks so much for watching, for everybody who joined in the live chat and added comments. Before you go, please leave a like and hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. Also, please hit that notification bell. That'll give you a notification every time we're about to go live, and it's all completely free. For those who missed the live show, you can catch this whenever you want on Let's Talk Tottenham's YouTube channel. Please also hit the like, subscribe and notification bell. And everybody, please leave feedback, comments, suggestions in the comments section on the YouTube videos. For those of you who listen to the audio podcast, thank you so much for listening. Anyone who wants that audio podcast, you can pick that up wherever you get your podcast from. We're back Mondays, 7:30 p.m. UK time, and Fridays, 12:30 p.m. UK time. Alternatively, if you go to Twitter at LTalkTottenham, Instagram, Let's Talk Tottenham Podcast, you'll find all the information there. Anyone who wants something a little bit different, also do a magic show. So I do one trick a week, which drops Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. UK time. Chris's Magic on YouTube is where you'll find that. But in the meantime, come on, you Spurs.